Yeah, so hi, I'm Daniel. I'm going to present this work that I did together with Kit from University of Twente. So, okay, so legacy conversational systems tends to be developed using this kind of walkie-talkie turn-taking paradigm. This basically means that one guy is talking at a time and response times are long, mostly due because they use pause duration threshold for end of utterance predictions. But when humans talk, more than 50% of all speaker shifts occurs in these two situations, that is, in a partial overlap or in a gap up to 200 milliseconds, which is supposed to be the minimum response times to a pause. So if you want to do turn-taking in when you're talking to a computer, you can divide this into two cases. The first one is when you're having a long gap, longer than 200 milliseconds, then you can handle this by end of utterance predictors. The second case here is when you're having a partial overlap or a short gap. This is our target for this study. But we introduce a simplified approach for this. So by introducing this acknowledgement mode, this is basically this kind of back channel type of dialogue act. This is means that when people say, yeah, and so on. So you want the dialogue system to be able to do these two things. That is, it should be able to continue to talk in when these acknowledgements move are interjected into complete overlap, or the computer should be able to resume its speech while the human is still uttering one of these things. So we're talking about a lot about the response times here. This is the corpus that we used, the classical Edinburgh MAPTAS corpus. It's Scottish English. It has 64 face-to-face dialogues. And the task here is a map task, so there's one guy that is explaining a route to another. And it has provided annotations. Among these are the acknowledgement modes. And we converted these annotations into talk spurts that are defined here as a minimum voice activity duration threshold of 50 milliseconds, separated by pause durations of 200 milliseconds. This will make the provider's annotation more perceptibly relevant and will more closely resemble online conditions. So these are the 20 most frequently occurring words. You can see that top five here are right, okay, and yeah. So these might actually be defined by their lexical content. So how does this occur in overlap then? Well, I took the corpus and divided it into 10 milliseconds frames. So given that the frame is a non-overlap, there's a 5% probability there is an acknowledgement mode. While if a frame is an overlap, it's 45% probability there is an acknowledgement mode. So this seems to be more common in overlap. So what is going on here? I try to dig a little bit deeper by computing the between speaker interval that is defined by the partial overlap and the gap. So what you're actually going for here, the target, is the assumption, the interlocutor assumption after an acknowledgement mode, but also computed for others to have a reference to compare with. That is, in the context of an acknowledgement mode without extra linguistic sounds and including extra linguistic sounds. So this is the graph. This is from an upcoming compilation in Press. And as you can see here, if you introduce these extra linguistic tokens, you get much more overlap, which is basically the negative scale of the graph here. While if you only compute it for in the context of an acknowledgement mode, there is not much difference. However, if you compute it for the interlocutor assumption of the acknowledgement mode, you get slightly more overlap, as you can see here to the left in the graph. So what does this mean? Well, it seems like the overrepresentation of acknowledgement mode is in overlap are mostly due to interjection into complete overlap. But what you actually want to do here is for both interjection into complete overlap and assumption after an acknowledgement mode interjection into silence, we need to classify incoming speech as an acknowledgement mode or not, as quite early. So I introduced this concept that I call the maximum latency classification. It's quite simple, actually. It's just a regular talk speech segmenter, which has a minimum speech activity threshold and a minimum pause duration threshold. But I want to make the decision at tau. However, in the third case here, if tau is larger than the talk spot duration plus the minimum pause duration threshold, we make it at this time instead to minimize the response times. So how do you set tau then, or the maximum latency? Well, these are the durations of these two kind of talk spurts, the acknowledgement moves and the other ones. As you can see here, that these are much shorter. So if you want to use duration as a feature then for classification, you have to make it early, but the longer you wait, the more salient duration will be as a feature, but less opportunities for overlap talk. So I tried 100 milliseconds, 300 milliseconds, and 500 milliseconds, and just see how it goes. For the acoustic detector, this kind of parameterization is a length invariant parameterization, which is basically type 2 DCT, which is modified in such a way that we divide with the length of the talk spurt. And this way, this is quite useful because the basis functions are periodic, which allows for good interpolation of the syllabic rhythm. The length invariance gives a normalization for duration and speaking rates. You can separate this in the classifier or analysis. And the Sears coefficient is equal to the arithmetic average here, so which means if you meet it, you're only parameterizing the relative shape of the trajectory. So this is useful for if you want to model F0, which has a speaker-dependent bias, intensity, tacit bias because of the distance to the microphone, and MSCC has this channel-induced bias. This is the classifier setup. Use F0 envelopes, relative shape, these intensity, the relative shapes of intensity. The absolute, we try to boost the absolute and relative shapes of MSCCs, because we want to see how this will affect what can you get out of it. And for duration, use the full talk spot duration for training, while for testing we carry it at the maximum latency. Then we also add the spectral flux without too much motivation. And the classifier is a sport vector machine with the RVF kernel. These are the dev set results. And as you can see, it seems like F0 envelopes are the weakest feature, followed by intensity and spectral flux, while MCCs are the strongest ones. And it doesn't hurt to omit the Sears coefficient, which means that we're actually only modeling some kind of delta trajectories of these features. For duration, you get nothing at 100 milliseconds, but if you wait a little bit longer, at 500 milliseconds, it becomes the second most salient feature. So we decided to include the MCCs without the Sears coefficient and omit the F0 envelopes because these were the weakest in the feature combination. These are the well set results, and we try two conditions here, that is the online and the offline. The offline uses the provided segmentation, while the online use an energy-based threshold, voice activity detector. Because we were a little bit anxious about how sensitive this time-varying representation was to this kind of voice activity detection. It turns out that it was not that sensitive to this, and as you can see, the longer you wait, the better classification you get. However, it's actually possible to get quite decent classification at only 100 milliseconds, which is quite impressive, I think, and it was surprising. So, these are the conclusions. Well, duration and MCCs seems to be the most salient features here. And if you want to integrate this kind of classifier with an incremental dialogue processing framework, it's basically a framework that is it can handle multiple ongoing plans. Our suggestion here is to run three classifiers in parallel. Perhaps the first one will prepare decisions at 100 milliseconds and then execute them at 300 and 500 milliseconds. So, and the actual implementation here was done in OpenSmile. That's all for me, everything I have to say. Any questions?
Thank you very much, Daniel. So, questions? So, do you have any particular explanation for MFCCs being so good here, or is it just what you always get in the end?
No, it's simply because it seems like the annotators basically have gone a lot of on the lexical content, I would say. This is a particular reason. But it's not that easy either, because if you make the Sirf coefficient, which it's actually the which holds the information about the actual the formants. If you omit that, then you lose this. So you're only modeling some kind of the delta trajectories, and that is a little bit different. It seems to be more something about voice quality, and I can't explain why it works so well.
Mm-hmm. So any other question? Okay, then. Thank you again, Daniel.
Thank you.